Good morning. There we go. It got really quiet, but the light wasn't on, so it wasn't time. Good morning and Merry Christmas to you. Thank you, Bill. the only one. It's good to see you this morning. We thank you for making the effort to get out this morning. We hope that you had a good time with your families, either this morning, early in the morning, like we did, or some of you did things yesterday, and some of you did things like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and just like Elijah was by himself this morning when he woke up. And I asked him if he filled his own stocking and acted surprised, but he did not. Anyway, so we're very thankful for your presence today. We hope that you had enjoyed a good time with your family. It's great to look out and see so many guests that we have with us. We have obviously a lot of folks that are either traveling or unable to make it in this morning. And if you're joining us online, we're grateful for your presence online. We hope that you are going to be able to enjoy our time together with us this morning in that way. If you are a guest or a visitor, we want to draw your attention to the bulletin, to the QR code, or a card that you find on the seat in front of you, and ask that you take a look at that, follow that link, and it'll give us a way of knowing that you were here, and also any prayer requests that you might have, or if you would like an elder or a minister to reach out to you, that would be a good way to let us know. So we appreciate you taking the time to do that. Just as a reminder, there will be no services this evening. I would just encourage you to be with your family and to enjoy time together. And on Wednesday this week, there will be no Bible classes. There will be a devotional led by our elders here in the auditorium. So if you're around here on Wednesday, we would love for you to be here, to come and enjoy that time together, but there will be no regular Bible classes. We'll have a church-wide devotional all together. So this morning, we are doing things just a bit differently. If you got your bulletin early this week, you probably saw that was the case. But we thought we would do something a little bit different. This morning, our focus is going to be on worship and praise of God. Now, that sounds unusual because you're thinking, isn't that every Sunday? Shouldn't that be what every Sunday is? And that's true. But we want to have just a particular focus and use a psalm, Psalm 96, to guide our thoughts together. The psalm, at least the way we're going to think about it, falls into kind of three different parts. And so we're going to look at those parts in turn and think about what the psalm is reflecting on and what it is calling all of us to reflect on and to sing about. And so as we begin our service, I'm going to have Josh to come up and to read Psalm 96 in its entirety, and then we'll spend some time thinking about together before we sing. Josh?
Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Ascribe an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it. Let the field exult, and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes. For He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness, and the peoples in His faithfulness.
You know, this is one of my favorite times of the year. Might be my favorite time of the year. I'm a crazy person that enjoys cold weather. Anybody enjoy cold weather with me? Okay, a couple of you enjoy cold weather. Maybe not quite the cold that we've had, although I still enjoy that. I love the cold weather. I love all the decorations that come out. I know people decorate their house all throughout the year, but this is the best time for me. Something about the twinkly lights and the Christmas trees, it's just, I absolutely love it. I love the music that they play on the radio, the Christmas music. Normally, I just listen to books, but this is the time of year where I turn the station and listen to Christmas music and complain about the terrible Christmas music that sometimes gets played, but enjoy the rest of it. I like the focus on families coming together and enjoying a time of giving gifts to one another. And I don't like the focus, even though we kind of know that Jesus probably wasn't born this time of the year, but I like the focus, right? It's a great thing that the world is sort of turning its attention in this way. There's just so many things to enjoy about this time of the year. But one of my favorites, and don't judge me, is the Hallmark movies. Anybody? Christmas Hallmark movies? Anybody love a Christmas Hallmark movie? I love Christmas Hallmark movies. They're a lot of fun. And I saw a brand new one the other day. It was new, never seen it before. It was amazing. It was about this young lady who was a rising star in her field working in a big city. And because she was so busy, she just didn't have a whole lot of Christmas spirit or time for Christmas. And then she got called on a weekend trip. And so she went on this weekend trip, but on the way, she... what was it that happened? She, her car broke down or, oh, I know it. She ran off the road avoiding a reindeer, right? And it just so happened that the closest town was like, it was like Christmas Village or Pleasant Experienceville or the meaning of Christmas Town. It was something like that. Anyway, it was a brand new story. It was absolutely incredible. And in this town, she meets a young, widowed Christmas tree farmer, right? And it just so happened that this Christmas tree farm was going out of business, and her skills lined up perfectly with what they needed to survive. And that was incredible. But also, surprisingly, in a completely new twist, he had a young daughter, and she came really attached to this person, and she learned the meaning of, well, I won't spoil it for you. It was brand new. I don't want to tell you how it ends. I don't want to ruin it for you. I will. They get together at the end, and it was just, whew, I mean, it was mind-blowing, right? All right. How many of you have heard this story before? Yeah. It's because it's the same story they've been telling since 2001, right? When they first started, they came up with one story, and then they just sort of changed a few of the details throughout. But here's the thing. Man, I love those movies. I love these stories. I might laugh at how cheesy it is. I might wait to see when they're about to kiss and it gets interrupted for the first time. I might make sure I know who's wearing the red scarf or sweater so I know who the most important person in the story is. You know, I love it. Why do I love it? Because I can just enjoy it. There's no anxiety. There's no worry. It's funny and laughable to call these stories new because there's nothing new about them. They are familiar stories that we know and we can enjoy with no worry and no anxiety and no stress and no fear. They are comfortable because we know the story, right? And I know there are other stories that are exciting, but these are great because they just bring us comfort because we know exactly what's going to happen. Now, why do I share all of that with you? Because this is the feeling that I think Psalm 96 invokes in us. It is not a new song. I know the very beginning of the psalm begins, "Sing a new song to the Lord." At one time, this was a new experience for Israel. They sang this psalm as a psalm of new orientation. The community had been through some difficult times, and now they were seeing God's provision and God's reign, and they were able to say, "We're singing a new song to God because we have this new experience of who He is in our lives." But here's the thing. For us, this is not a new song. But it's a comfortable song. It's a song that brings us hope. It's a song we sing because it reminds us of who we are, who we are called to be. It reminds us of who God is. We sing this song because it's one that brings us joy and peace and comfort and hope. And this morning, we want to allow this psalm to guide our thoughts. While we may not be singing a new song, we are singing a renewal song, one that reminds us of who God is and why we sing to Him. So let's look at the first six verses here. The first part of this psalm is a call to praise. It's a command to worship. It's a summons for God's people to gather together and have an emotional connection to our God. Because you think about the threefold repetition of the command to sing. And why is it we sing? What is so powerful about the command to sing? When you sing, it connects you in a different sort of way. It becomes not only about what you're singing, but about what the song is expressing. Singing in and of itself isn't an act of praise, because you can sing about anything. You can sing words that mean nothing. But singing with the intention of bringing glory to God, singing songs that reflect who God is and what He has done for us, is what makes it worship. So notice the three repetitions here. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord and bless His name. Now we're beginning to get some instructions about what it is we are to remember and to sing. Tell of His salvation from day to day. So He changes here what it is we're supposed to do. How many of you have ever thought about what it means to bless the Lord? Oftentimes we ask or seek the Lord's blessing on us, but this says we are to sing to Him and bless His name. Now you might notice as you look through this psalm, every time you see the Lord referred to over and over and over again, it's, what does it look like? It's all caps, right? This always refers to Jehovah or Yahweh, the personal name of God, the name that God uses when He wants to interact with His people, when He wants to be with them, to have a relationship with them, when He is acting directly on our behalf. He is referred to as Yahweh or Jehovah, or we see it in all caps, the Lord. So how do we bless the personal name of God? How do we bless His name? We do it by telling of His salvation from day to day. I think this could maybe mean one of two things. It could be telling of His salvation that occurs on a daily basis. Every day we are being saved again and again, anew by God and His mercy. I also think it can mean we bless His name by our telling of our story of His salvation in our lives. I think one of the most important and impactful things we can do in terms of evangelism or sharing our faith is to be able to share our own story of who God is and what He has done for me personally. Because if I can contextualize the story of God and Jesus in terms of my own life, and how He has blessed me and made me who I am, that is going to be what impacts another. Because they can begin to draw connections about how His story can impact their story. We share our story with one another because it allows us to tell of our salvation, tell others of what God has done for us, who He is to me, what He has meant to my family, and to my struggle, and to my pain. What He has meant for my hope, for where all of this is going, and the redemptive quality that can be ours and it is His that He offers to us. We tell of His joy, or of our joy in His salvation. And then He changes a little bit in the psalm in verse 3, declare, to make known, to proclaim the glory among the nations, His marvelous work among the people. I want you to take a minute and think about what marvelous works means to you. Maybe for some of us, when we hear about God's marvelous works that we might want to share, we look outside and we see we had a white Christmas and we love the snow and we can point out how this is from God and how creation reflects His majesty. Maybe when we hear about His marvelous works, we think very specifically in our lives about the people He has brought into our lives. Think about my wife and my kids, the family that I married into. I think about the people who have blessed me over the years. I think about the way God has shown up in the darkest parts of my life. What is that for you? When you think about what you could be telling the world, telling the nations on a day-to-day basis, what are the marvelous works in your life? How has God blessed you and your family? What makes you think about who God is and what He has done? And then we're given the reason. Why? Why do we do this? Yeah, He's got marvelous works. Yeah, He has saved us. But what is the reason for that? How has He been able to do that? Look at verse 4. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are worthless idols, but the Lord has made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Now, I know for us, the talk of idols and other gods doesn't really hold a lot of weight because we don't live in the same world that they did, where this would have been a very real move from having a belief or a faith in many gods to a hope and a trust in one above all others. But we can recognize the worthless idols of people, can't we? We can recognize that sometimes we put our faith in the God of success, the God of money, the God of power, the God of pleasure or food or reputation, and on the list can go, right? We can put our hope and our faith in these things, or we put our fear in those things, and that's just as bad, maybe even worse. Because when we fear these things, we fear that what they can do to us if I don't give my every attention or inclination or desire to those things. You hear me? When I fear what the lack of money can do to me, when I fear what the lack of power or success or on and on and on can do, I spend all my time and all my energy and all my desire and all my passion chasing those things. And they are worthless compared to who God is and what He offers us. God has made the heavens. He has made all things. Everything else is worthless in comparison to Him. All splendor, all strength, all glory, all majesty, all things are God. What is there left for anybody else to be praised about? This is what we sing. This is the song that guides us. I want you to be thinking about the marvelous works of God. I want you to be thinking in your own life about the salvation that we should be telling from day to day. As we go into this time of singing, I'm going to ask Kerry to make his way to the stage or make his way up here. We're going to sing songs that reflect on His majesty. Sing songs that reflect on His salvation. And at the end of the next three songs, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper, which is one of the most profound expressions of His marvelous works and the salvation that God offers us daily, that we should be telling daily. There's now a shift in the psalm, a move to a different set of commands. Notice that also there is a threefold repetition here, beginning in verse 7. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Ascribe is such an unusual word. It's not one that I imagine you used this week. Anybody use the word ascribe this week in a conversation? Anybody tweet out the word ascribe this week as you were describing something? Probably not. The best way I can describe this word is sharing a story with you. Now, I apologize. I can be my dad sometimes and just tell the same stories over and over again. And it's likely that I have shared this story, but I'm counting on you not remembering it. This was a story from a Christmas years and years ago when I was, you know, young. I might have been Liam's age, 10, 11, somewhere around in there. And we were filming Christmas. Anybody do this or remember doing this as a kid? Maybe we don't think about it much anymore. We used to set the camera up, you know, big old camera on a tripod, and we would just film Christmas morning as though we would ever want to go back and watch like 2 hours of us opening presents that you can barely hear. I don't know why, but we did it. And I'm glad we did for this one year. Our grandma had sent us presents, and we were opening her presents. And I opened mine first, and it was socks. And you could hear on the camera my tiny little voice going, "Oh, socks." You know, and I look around at the camera, "Thanks, Grandma." You know, I can see my face is like, cool, you know. Christmas goes on a little bit, and my oldest brother, Madeline's dad, gets his gift, and from Grandma, has her name on it, and you can immediately tell that his excitement level is low. You know, he gets it, it's roughly in the shape of socks, squishy as socks are, and he opens his, and again, in his squeaky voice, even though he's 8 years older, he still has a really girly voice, he turns around, and he says, "Oh, socks," you know, he's like, "Thanks, Grandma," and then he sets them aside. We go on about it, and then my middle brother gets his sockly-like present from Grandma. He opens his, and then he looks in the top of the sock, and there's a $50 bill there. And he goes, "It's got $50 in it," you know, real excited. And immediately, we dive into the, you know, the wrapping paper looking for our own socks that we so, you know, just casually tossed aside. And I pull mine and we start ripping through them and I find my $50. I'm like, "Oh, it's $50. And my brother renews his. At this point, his socks are entirely ruined. He's just ripped them apart before he finally finds his $50 as well. And then, of course, the effusive praise begins to Grandma, because at that time, $50 to us was like $1 million, you know? I mean, today it's like I could get some gum with that, maybe. But then it was a big deal. I was seeing all the different things I could get, and it was so, oh man, it was awesome. This is what it means to ascribe, to recognize, to see and to recognize what is there. To ascribe glory to God isn't some act on my part that gives God His glory as though He needs me to bestow it upon Him. I'm often known within our youth group as a ruiner of songs. There are certain songs that we sing that just bother me because they just make no sense or they're just flat out wrong. And I often will point out, "I don't really like that song," because really, if you think about what it's saying, they're like, "Would you stop doing that? Because we just like the way it sounds." And I can't help it. One of those phrases that we sometimes sing is, "God is worthy of my praise." Now, I can understand the intent behind it, but sometimes it hits my ear wrong, as though I have been looking and searching for something that is worthy of me. You know, there's a wrong-headed emphasis on it. What I love so much about this word ascribe is it says it is our duty and responsibility to recognize what God already is, who He already is, and what He has done. His glory is already there. His might, His majesty, His power, His salvation is there. It is my responsibility to recognize it, to see it, and to understand who He is and what it means to me. This part of the psalm is a call for God's people to recognize who He is. But more than that, to say to the families of the people, you notice He says, "I want you to ascribe glory, O families of the people." This is a reference back to Genesis chapter 12, in which all the families of the people are going to be blessed through Abraham. It's all of the world. It's all of the people that inhabit the world. This psalm is an evangelistic outreach to the world to say, you better recognize who God really is. We are to be my middle brother, saying, guess what? There's so much value in here that you might have missed, that you so casually toss aside, or you so casually maybe think about or mention on occasion and then lay it aside for the, you know, getting into the rest of your thing or the rest of your week or the rest of your day or business. It's our responsibility to say, to hold, to recognize, and to see who God is and to show the world, look, look what I found. Look what I've seen. Look what I now understand. That is our responsibility, to ascribe to the Lord glory, not as though because I've seen it, it's there, but because when I see it, I can't help but proclaim it being there. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Recognize who He is and what He has done. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due Him, and the response can only be to bring an offering and come into His courts. And by offering here, we're talking about ourselves. to bring the offering of our lives. In other places throughout the Psalms, especially in the ones where it's God talking, he often says, I don't care about your sacrifice. All these things are always before me, but you're lacking something. What you're missing is yourself. What I'm missing from you is your thankfulness, your life lived in service to me. When we truly see and understand the Lord for who he is, we cannot help but bring ourselves as an offering and come into his courts. Verse 9 says, worship the Lord. So when we recognize, when we ascribe, when we see and understand, the response is worship. Now, Bill pointed this out to us a week or so ago. The idea of the word worship here in the Hebrew was to bow down, literally, to bow down. And it was a posture of submission. To worship, to bow down, was to recognize that something else is the ruler of my life. To lay myself down in submission to a greater power than my own. To be ruled by that power. When we truly understand and see who God is, we cannot help but lay ourselves out in submission to Him, to His splendor, to His holiness, and to tremble before His might and His love and His grace. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Here's a reason. When we are pulling out, metaphorically, right, the dollar, the 50 out of the socks, to show the world who God is, what is it we're saying? What reason are we giving to ascribe God glory, to recognize these things? We are pulling out this. Let the world know the Lord reigns. He is our ruler. The world has been established by Him. It will never be moved. His kingdom has been established, and He will judge the people with equity. We serve a ruler who judges with equity. Now, that word has a kind of weird meanings, right, for us in the world we live in today, but the Hebrew here simply means uprightness or fairness, justly. The Lord is a ruler who is just. He is one who is not corrupt. He is not one who is seeking his own gain and to dominate others. He is not one who is twisting things. He is one who judges the world with fairness, with righteousness, with levelness. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that feels it. Let the field exult and everything in it. And all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. When the Lord reigns, all creation rejoices. All things point to Him. We're going to sing a few more songs now. And the focus of these songs is recognizing, understanding, ascribing to God glory that is His due, that is His right. And it is also a reflection on our responsibility to be the ones who show the world, to be the ones who pull out of our socks, who do not lay aside so casually what God has done for us and who He is, but instead hold it up for the world to see. Hold it up to the lens, to the camera of the world, right? Our friends, our family, our co-workers, whomever it might be. And ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes. For He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His faithfulness. Who God is, what He has done, what He will do, causes all creation, you and I included, to shout for joy, to sing, to praise His name. Why? Because He comes. When the psalm was written, it was anticipating a time in which His reign would be even more evident on earth. And we now live in a world in which Jesus has come, and He has established His kingdom and invited us to be a part of it, to act and to work in it, to bring it to others. And we can say our Lord reigns, and He reigns, and He judges in righteousness and in faithfulness. And that is absolutely a reason to praise, to rejoice, and to sing songs of gladness. For he judges, he reigns in righteousness, and he reigns in faithfulness. And so now we invite all of you to stand. We're going to sing a final song in closing. And of course, our invitation is always open should you need it, whether it be today or at any time, to give your life to Christ, to renew your faith in Him. But this morning, the invitation we offer to you is to join us in singing to God, to singing a new song, or maybe a song of renewal. We invite you to join us in ascribing to glory or ascribing to God what is His due, to recognize and to help the world recognize who He is, to do that by sharing the salvation that we have as ours in Him. So as we sing a final song, I want you to think about ways in which you can do that or continue doing that in your own life. I'm so grateful to the group of people who have given up their time in preparing food, but also their time in going to serve the homeless here in Springfield. We're so grateful for the heart of this congregation that was willing to step up in a time of need. And as Barney has said before, simply because it's Christmas doesn't mean there are people who don't have needs. In fact, the way this week has gone, I would imagine even more in need. So we sing songs of praise for the Spirit that God puts in our hearts. We sing song of praise that recognizes who He is and what He has done. We're so thankful for you being here this morning and hope that this has been a time of blessing to you and your family.